Let's turn together to Ruth chapter 3, page 269, if you have a church Bible. Ruth chapter 3, page 269. If you go down to the Coley Meadows here, you can see Mother Duck with her ducklings, but you'll also see there's a swan nesting. And there's the as it were, the wife and the husband. And the wife is just sits there for ages and keeping the eggs, and then will keep the young ones when they're born secure. But also, Dad is patrolling up and down. And they're on the other side of the bank, and they're quite secure, quite safe. So she's at home. And she's secure in the relationship there with husband Swan. And here we have a situation that Naomi is seeking for her daughter-in-law Ruth, a secure home, a loving, lasting relationship. But also, of course, that applies to you and I. Are we not looking for secure love, secure home, a rest of a loving heart and also a loving home? Well, I'm going to walk through the story first, and I'm going to bring out the vital significance of the kinsman redeemer, the family redeemer. And after we've gone through the story, I'm then going to apply that story to our hearts in Christ. Let me just give you a very quick reminder of where we are in the story. Obviously, we're chapter 3. Chapter 1, we had that Naomi went with her husband and two sons in the time of the judges. We're about 1100 BC. And in that time, we're after they're in the promised land, before the time of David and the kings and Saul, and just before Samuel. That's why you find it. If you just flicked back, you'd have judges in the Bible before that. You've got Samuel after it. That's where it's placed in this story. And you have very much just daily life presented, just the ins and outs and ups and downs of the daily life. And go down to Moab because there was a famine in the land. The husband dies, the two sons die, but they've married first, leaving two daughters-in-law. Naomi says, stay here, stay with your God. But Ruth says, I will choose to return with you. Your people will be my people, your God will be my God. And there was some sweetness in the bitterness. But Naomi returns and saying, I went full. I had a husband and two sons. I've come back empty. It's bitter for me. My name meant pleasant or sweet, but now it's bitter. So they got back to Bethlehem. But they're all still clinging on to the Lord. In chapter 2, we had that Ruth can go out and pick up the leftovers from when there's the harvest behind the gleaners. She can glean. And she so happens, remember that coincidence, but it's a God incidence, that she ends up in the field of Boaz, who is a relative of them, a man of a good standing, of worth and repute, and godly character. And he looks after Ruth and says, you've come under God's winds of refuge, and I'm, as it were, also going to look after you. I'll give you that you can have some of my food. And he says to his workers, make sure you keep accidentally dropping stuff that she can pick up and don't tell her off. And then when Ruth gets back, and Naomi is amazed because she brings back masses of food, a doggy bag and all this amazing amount of grain that she's found. And she says, the Lord bless Boaz, and adds, the Lord is now showing kindness. Naomi is beginning to turn sweeter. And, as very significantly, verse 20, that man is our close relative. He's one of our kinsmen redeemers. And then stay working with him. We're 2 to 3 months on. Now we're into chapter 3. And here we have verse 1. One day Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, that's Ruth, my daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for? And the footnote in the NIV says, find rest. Look at chapter 1, verse 9, it says. Chapter 1, verse 9, Naomi prayed for the two daughters-in-law back in Moab. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband or her husband. To find rest, security, peace in the home of a husband. So here we have that Naomi is talking to Ruth and saying, find rest by marriage, but it's marriage to a redeemer. It's not Boaz, verse 2, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours. And the key verse is verse 9, when Ruth says, spread the corner of your garment over me. To Boaz, she says this, since you are a kinsman redeemer. So it's find rest, as in find a home, a heart home, where there's loving heart looking and caring and providing, and also a home that's full of rest as well and love. And this is going to be through, Naomi is seeking the kinsman redeemer, Boaz, whom the Lord in the coincidences has brought together to an extent. But now it's go on the initiative. But we just need to pause a moment to just grasp, as I read earlier, the significance of the kinsman redeemer. As I read earlier, it has a double significance. It's redeeming someone's property and redeeming someone's family line. Or if you want, the field and their land and their family line. And there's two separate laws which are being rolled into one here. One is Leviticus 25:25. If one of your countrymen becomes poor and sells some of his property, his nearest relative, the kinsman, the one nearest in blood relative, is to come and redeem what his countryman has sold. This is a law of mercy, of literally, you know, brotherly love and care. Obviously, that was if that was possible. And then there was also that if there was a marriage and there was no children and the husband died, it was so vital that you kept your family line. Because if you didn't have then a child, you would then lose your land, lose your name, lose your building. It would just go from you. So it was so important to have an heir, which is why you get Deuteronomy 25, verses 5 and 6. If brothers are living together and one of them dies without a son, his widow must not marry outside the family. A husband's brother shall take her and marry her and fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to her. The first son she bears shall carry on the name of the dead brother so that his name will not be blotted out from Israel. There it was, the nearest relative in the sense of a brother-in-law to the widow, but at times it could be next in line as well. There was some freedom and latitude. And these were loving laws to protect the person's property and their field and land and to protect their family line. And here we have that's rolled those two laws into one because Ruth is told to go to Boaz. Now here we have the strange story to us, it is, isn't it? Actually, notice here we have the woman taking the initiative, very modern in that sense. She's the one who's going to go and ask, be married. But Naomi gives instructions, verses 3 through 5. She tells that Boaz that night will be on the floor of the threshing floor because he's been winnowing the barley. They collect the barley in. They get off the ends of the grain, but it's mixed with chaff. So what they used to do, usually in the early evening, was just throw the grain up, and of course the wind would blow away the chaff. It would come down. They put it all together in piles. No, Boaz is the owner of it all. He would stay asleep, sort of half asleep, you could say, but deep sleep. He did have food and drink and be in good spirits, and then he would sleep with his grain because he needed to look after it. I once was in a tent mission and we had to sleep in the tent at night because we had to look after the tent. It's that kind of thing. And Ruth was told, you know, act as a bride. Wash and perfume yourself. Put on your best clothes. Don't let him know he's there. Look where he's going to lie down. And then when he's asleep, go up to him. He'll have his cover, his cloak sort of over him. Just uncover his feet. Now, I'll tell you what, it all seems a bit weird, doesn't it? And a bit unusual. And it's not saying this is the way to get married, but it's actually, and some say this is very dangerous, and I've read quite a few books this week that knock Naomi for setting this up, because there's Ruth going to go on her own in the darkness of night to a man on his own who is in good spirits and lift up the edge of his garment, and then he will tell you what to do. But no, there's nothing untoward here. Boaz is a godly man. He shows that. His first reaction is, the Lord bless you and you're a person of noble character. So though it's an unusual arrangement, what it's actually saying is, I'm uncovering your feet, and then, as we'll learn later, can you then cover over your feet and cover my feet? Because my feet are going to be near your feet. It's an indication of, can we marry? Can there be in the future a marriage bed? And that's an initial sign of the cover going over. So what's going to happen? She goes, she does all that, she goes down, she does everything her mother-in-law tells her, and Boaz is asleep. He is so she goes along, she uncovers, and he's asleep, and what will happen? Not surprisingly, in the middle of the night, maybe it was the cold. As the night went on, you know, he got cold feet, maybe, I don't know. But anyway, for whatever reason, he turned and he discovered a woman lying at his feet, the end of verse 8. And not surprisingly, in the darkness, says, who are you? And Ruth replies, I'm your servant, Ruth. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman or a family redeemer. She has a double meaning to that, because corner is also the word translated wings in chapter 2, verse 12, when Ruth has come under God's wings of refuge. So it's, spread your wings over me. Spread your cover over me. In other words, will you marry me and be the kinsman redeemer? Will you redeem our land, pay the price, and will you take me as a wife and raise up an heir so the family line is protected? What happens here? Well, here we see a faithful redeemer and a faithful servant, because we have Ruth has been faithful. She's done everything that Naomi has told her, and also she is recognized as one of noble character, because verse 11, all my fellow townsmen, Boaz says, know that you're a woman of noble character, woman of virtue, the woman of Proverbs 31, a godly woman. And then he also says that you are one who's shown kindness greater than that which you showed earlier. You've not run after the younger men without rich, whether rich or poor, because Ruth would have been probably in her mid-20s, in those days, very eligible to be married. She could have gone after men, but she knows she's waited to say, it must be in the family line and a redeemer. I'm coming to you, Boaz. I'm not running after men. She's a faithful servant. And also she's a servant because she says, I am your servant, Ruth. She doesn't come demanding. She doesn't come in great overbearingness, or even come to sexually tempt. She comes to be lie at his feet and say, cover me, cover me. And then Boaz is the faithful redeemer. His first words are not about a sexual encounter, but the Lord bless you, my daughter. Instantly, straight away, the Lord bless you for what you're doing and have done. And he says, the Lord, as surely as the Lord lives, I will be the kinsman redeemer if I can. But actually, there's someone nearer in blood than me, and I must be faithful that he must have first choice. But if you won't do it, let it be known, I'll do it. And he indicates that by he will give her a pile of barley. And also, they want to protect their names. Why didn't Naomi suggest all this at night? And then Boaz says, go before the sun has risen. She won't be recognised, because they want to protect their reputation, protect that it could have actually been that he'd said no, and then it all would have been fine. So it was just being quite wise. And then he, of course, gives a pile of barley. I don't know, picture Ruth walking back, sort of slumped down with a pile of barley, an indicator that he's not coming back empty-handed. Do you remember what Naomi had said? I've come back empty. And now she's full with her grain. And significantly, we're left on tender hooks, verse 18. Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." Well, that's chapter 4, and you have to wait for that. Now let's go back over. It's quite stuffy in here. If you want to open any windows, just feel free to do that. Feel free. So we've had a faithful redeemer and servant brings, you know, a cover of heart rest, of home rest. And because Naomi said to Ruth, do you remember, find rest by marriage or being united to a redeemer. Well, let's apply that now to ourselves, remembering that this redeemer, Boaz, ultimately points forward to Christ, the ultimate redeemer. Because as we love to sing, don't we? There is a redeemer, Jesus, God's own son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit. The work on earth is done. And Christ, of course, was a faithful one. He obeyed all the law. And then he became the ultimate redeemer in love, because he was the Lamb of God who would sacrifice himself to pay the price that he could, in blood, buy his people. More of that shortly. But notice also, we are to be, as it were, Ruth, as faithful servants, one who will come saying, "Lord, I come to you totally dependent. Cover me with your love. Provide heart rest and home rest. Be wings of refuge to me. I depend on you and no other. And I want then to be a faithful servant of you in my life." So this Christ, the Redeemer, he first brings, we can say it, as the cover of heart rest. We have in this story that rest is to be provided through the love of a husband, through being united to someone in love. And then there'll be heart rest. And so that's what Boaz is going to provide for Ruth. But of course, Christ, the greater Boaz, provides that to us. The Beatles famously sang, "All you need is love." ABBA sang, "Money makes the world." It's money, money, money. It can't be funny. It's a rich man's world, which is, you know, linked with money makes the world go round. But actually, it is love, ultimately, that makes the world go round. You know, love is the oil of life. Oh, to be loved and to love. And of course, that reflects that God himself is love, and he dwells in a loving community of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Father loves the Son loves the Father. The Holy Spirit sheds abroad the love of God. And he made us in his image. Remember the Image of God series, to relate to him and to relate to one another in love. And Adam was not good that he was alone, but made a companion. But all this pointed to, yes, there can be marriage companionship, but also there's the wider companionship of with God and with one another, and that love matters. And here we have in those words, "Cover me, spread the corner of your garment over me, since you're a kinsman redeemer," echoes some very interesting words in Ezekiel, where God marries his people and covenants with them. And it says in Ezekiel 16, verse 8, "Later, I, the Lord, passed by, and when I looked at you and saw that you were old enough for love, I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your nakedness. I gave you my solemn oath and entered into a covenant with you, declares the Lord, and you became mine." And of course, this is by our Saviour, isn't it? As we sung earlier, reflecting the words of Ephesians 5. Oh, he is the Saviour. And we can say, one with Jesus, loved and cherished, chosen as his holy bride. All our sins in him have perished. For his church, the Saviour died, gave himself to make her holy, washed with water through the word, to present her in his glory, pure and blameless, like her Lord. And it said in there, Ezekiel, that we're naked, but then in Christ, God's covers us and loves us and receives us and accepts us. He provides those that clothes of righteousness. As we sung earlier, life-giving grace the new covenant brings. Jesus, our surety, our kinsman redeemer, round us the robe of his righteousness flings. And be quite clear, I'm not saying that Boaz was throwing a cover, a robe of righteousness, but there's a deeper element that in Christ, the covering is that we are naked and we need his covering. As the song goes, doesn't it? God of grace, I turn my face to you, I cannot hide. And we want to come as Ruth and say, cover me. I rest in you. I'm restless without you. I can only find the rest of the covering love of the Lord and a relationship that will not fail forever. In you, O Lord, in you, Lord Jesus, as the Redeemer. So I say, God of grace, I turn my face to you, I cannot hide. My nakedness, my shame, my guilt are all before your eyes. But then we say also, and his love clothes me in righteousness, and his mercy covers me with love. His life adorns and beautifies. I stand complete in Christ. Don't we all yearn? Do we just be loved and loved and loved and accepted and be secure in that love, a love that will not fail us? Well, we come under God's wings of refuge, his eternal wings of refuge. And there is heart rest in the love of God, which nothing can separate us from. You see, even human love, which can be good and wonderful, and picture this higher love of God, and God encourages us to have, there is a love story here as well in Ruth, and it's in the earthly realities of life about human relationships. But here's the rub. Even the best human relationship cannot provide wings of eternal refuge. I was thinking this week, I think it's probably stirred by Kathy, of the generation in my own family that's no longer here. I think of my grandfather, we used to call him Pop. I used to love playing with him. Think of my nan, who used to look after me in Bristol and take me to places in London and Hampton Court and just enjoy. There was my Nana Dora, who loved playing cards with me. I think she let me win, actually. And she was giving and giving. And yet they're all gone. They've died. Their love in that sense has failed. Even the best love will fail in death. But God's love is deathless. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us, who died and rose. He died for our trespasses and rose to clothe us in righteousness and love. And nothing can separate us from his love. Absolutely nothing. Not death, not trouble, not persecution, not high things, low things, bad things, good things. Let's be covered in his love and know that heart rest. And then, of course, it's right that we do seek good human friends, and it may be marriage, it may not be, of course, between a man and a woman. But have and know that our heart rest is in the Lord himself. But also, I want you to notice that Boaz was going to provide, of course, a home where they could be at rest and secure. Remember that translates the verse 1, my daughter Naomi to Ruth, should I not try to find a home for you where you'll be provided? That's find rest. Chapter 1, verse 9, may the Lord grant you, you'll find rest in the home of another husband. In other words, a secure home. A home where you're at ease and safe. You know, there's no place like home. Of course, it has to be a loving home to work. But also, there's that security. You know, we say an Englishman's home is his castle. And you go home, close the door, and thank you very much. But there is a sense of, the Bible talks about salvation is not just about heart rest. It's about living on this physical earth at peace with God, at peace with one another, and at peace in the sense that you are secure and enjoy where you live. You know these words, but I don't know if you know the verse that comes after. The Lord will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes from strong nations far and wide. Here's the bit I know you will know. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. But we may not know in Micah, after verse 3 of chapter 4, comes this, verse 4. Every man will sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree. No one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. In other words, where there's peace and not war, there's security and a home where you can sit under your own tree and be totally at peace, totally at rest, totally not know that you're going to be attacked or troubled, that disease or famine or persecution will come your way. It's all gone. And this is very earthy. It's on earth, in this world. But then, of course, you say, Lord, this isn't here yet, is it? North Korea and South Korea and Trump and Kong, I can never say his name. Jong-il? Something like that. The man with the good haircut. They can't get on. And, of course, you could go to many countries in this world and you'll find there are battles. I just mentioned Cameroon is not on the news, but people are being murdered there and there's attacks. And of course, we're not free from murders and theft and robbery. And do you feel totally secure in your home? Have you ever had that horrible event of your own home being robbed or perhaps troubles? Or a bike being stolen. I've had 4 bikes stolen. And all these kind of things. And you say, I'm not at home. There's not that security here on earth. But God says he'll give it. And there's a sort of text, just a little taste of it in the Old Testament. And it's very earthy. It's in the reality of daily life, of living relationships with Boaz and Ruth, and in being a home where there's rest and security. But of course, this points forward to, as Peter says, 2 Peter 3:13, in keeping with his promise, God's promise, we're looking forward to a new heavens and a new earth, because we won't find that ultimate security in the current one, the home of righteousness, where righteousness dwells. And of course, we have in Revelation, we pray the beginning, O Lord, lead us to the city of God. But the city of God is not something that's just heaven. It's come down from heaven to earth, and we inherit, what are we going to inherit? Not heaven, but we inherit the earth. Now, I know we talk about going to heaven, but the point is, that's just the stopping. That's the sort of interim city. It comes down, and it's all very earthy. It's about Eden being restored. And this tells us we have a wonderful paradise restored to look forward to. And it'll be about daily life. It'll still be about cooking and playing and working and doing things like that, but it'll all be totally secure. No sin, no suffering, no falling outs, no attacks, no persecutions, and so on. Just wonderful covering of total home rest, rest at home. And that's our future. But of course, we're not in that now. This past week has seen, it's the second or third attempt, the launch of the Grenfell inquiry, that tragedy with those block of flats burning. And of course, there were hearts broken terribly that night. And homes were literally shattered and burnt up, weren't they? Oh, we need to come as servants like Ruth and say, cover me, Lord. I trust you. I want to serve you and be a faithful servant and just and depend only on you. And you, Lord Jesus Christ, are my faithful family redeemer. Oh, cover me with the heart rest in your love that only you can give. Cover me ultimately, foretaste now, but ultimately that you'll bring that new heaven and earth, that home of righteousness, that
home of rest.
So, like Ruth was to seek in Boaz, rest from being united to Boaz. Let us find rest, heart rest, ultimately home rest, in being united to Christ, our kinsman, our family redeemer. Let's close by singing, "I know that my Redeemer lives." What joy this great assurance gives. And there's a couple of verses that have been added to this that bring out aspects of what we've been hearing too.